On Robin Hood Radio, we're joined once again by Willie Hallahan of the Salisbury Winter Sports Association to talk about the upcoming junior jump camp at Satry Hill in Salisbury.
It's that time of year for SWASA. It seems like as time goes on, there's more and more things going on, and we're almost a year-round organization when you count all of our fundraisers. But this is our time of year. We're approaching winter, and with Christmas coming up, the SWASA Junior Jump Camp is coming up as well. It's going to be held over at the ski jumps, of course, on Friday and Saturday, December 27th and 28th. It's the end of Christmas week. And it's going to be held from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm trying to get all these details in early so I don't forget to talk about them later. It's a $50 charge per child for both days. That's instruction. It includes lunch both days. And what it does is you need no experience. We accept children age 7 and up. And you don't need any ski jumping experience, but you have to come with your downhill, your alpine skis. So hopefully you've had some downhill skiing experience. We require you to come with your skis, boots, and helmet. You don't need poles for ski jumping.
Where do they jump from? This isn't on the big jump. No.
No. It's on the smallest, the 20 meter. It's if you actually go to jumpfest.org, our website, you scroll down, you can see our webcam. The leftmost jump is the 20 meter. Now it looks, you know, when you're at the top of the 20 meter, it looks way up there, and it's up there. But you know, anybody listening to this, I assure them that the kids don't start there. It's a very nurturing program where children, we start off with them on the landing hill, for example, just going down the landing hill. And if they're a little timid, they don't even start at the top of the landing hill. They'll start partway down. And at each step of the way, they have to feel comfortable with what they've accomplished, and they're ready to go on to the next step. And once they've mastered the landing hill, after a few runs, if they're ready, then they get on the in run. That's the ramp of the 20 meter, not necessarily at the top, again, wherever they're comfortable, and they go off there. We have very knowledgeable coaches. We have at least two coaches and several parents. The total of the children there will be a combination of first timers and some kids who've been in the program for a number of years, even. They're very helpful to each other. The parents are very knowledgeable. They've watched their children learn and grow over the last few seasons, so they're almost like coaches themselves. It's a very nurturing group you have here, and it's hard to know how many we'll have. I think we have up in the 20s registered already, but on average, if we have 30, 35 kids, that's about average. And as I say, each child determines themselves when they're ready to go on to the next step. So no one's being pushed off the hill or anything like that. It's all when they're ready. And what it does, there are a few things that work here. First, your child is outside getting exercise in a time of year when there's not much going on outside. Two, it's a very cool sport. I mean, if you are in the ski jump program, in your school, you're really kind of respected by your peers because it's a cool thing to do to be a ski jumper. Not many kids do it. I mean, that's at its most shallow, I suppose, if I were to say it, benefit. But at its most fundamental level, it instills a self-confidence in a child that almost nothing else does. When you in a situation where you face your fears and overcome them, it instills in you, either enhances your self-confidence, if you've already had some, or if you're lacking it, it helps build it. And we've had people well into their adulthood, even in their older age, who learned to ski jump many, many, many years ago, and they talk about what it's meant in their lives. It's amazing what self-confidence can do for your life in general. And I think that's the thing we're most proud of in our ski jumping program. We're teaching kids to jump, for sure, but we're helping them be better people. And that may well be the biggest benefit of the program.
Now, you start taking them at age 7. Is there a cap on this?
No. We'll even teach adults if they want. Not necessarily in the junior camp, but if someone came along and said, you know what, I'm going to try that 20-meter. We've done it before. There's not a lot of interest in that, but we will. I mean, we're there to promote the sport in its forms and at any level. So I suppose it tends to be children up to the early teens, but we don't really limit it.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You have a few adults mixed in there. Makes for real fun.
Yeah, and we had Scott Haney came from, you know, from WFSB.
He's
been a couple times, and he went off the 20. We suited him up with the whole outfit and everything, and he nailed it.
He's good.
We'll take adults.
He's kind of crazy anyway. So,
you know, he is, and I think he's a downhill skier, so it was not
that helps.
Foreign to him to be on skis. But, the first time he went off, he jumped and caught some air and landed safely, and it was all good. We all applauded. It's a fun time. I mean, when a child enjoys a success, even if it's just going down the landing hill, without sitting down, for example, there'll be applause by the other kids, and it's a fun time. It really is. It's unlike anything else I've seen. And in the ski jumping world, I mean, the sport tends to attract kids who are not drawn to team sports. But at the same time, once they become a ski jumper, there is a team aspect because your fellow jumpers are all there to support you. You compete against each other in a lot of ways, but everybody supports everybody else too. So even though it's an individual sport, there is a team aspect to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, competing against one another and learning how to do that and still be friends is actually a good lesson everyone could learn now.
Yeah, yeah. And just going back to that self-confidence thing for a minute, you can tell kids who've been ski jumping. You know, you see them around. Well, of course, oftentimes they're in uniform, and you can tell they're a jumper. But the way they talk to adults, they look them in the eye. They speak easily. They speak with confidence, and that's a lot of that stuff they learned in the ski jumping world. I'll say it again: when you can face your fears and overcome them, it's a big, big deal in your development.
No, it certainly is. Now, at the time you and I are speaking, and I have to say this because of the way weather is these days, we have no snow. So people might be curious as to how you do this with no snow.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Michael. if you go to jumpfest.org, our website, and scroll down to the webcam, you'll see that there's a lot of brown and green around, but in the middle of that image, the image shows the three hills. There's a pile of snow. It's hard to tell its size, maybe, but there's our maintenance building in back of it's partially obscured by that pile. Probably right now, there's close to enough that we push it around. We'll push it up onto the smallest hill, the one that we'll be using for jump camp, and we'll have adequate snow as it is. I'm confident that before the way the weather works, and this is a typical January, you know, we have cold nights and we have warm ones. We make snow when it's cold. We make it into that pile for a reason, because when you make snow in a pile as opposed to spreading it out on in a couple inches over a couple of acres, that pile can stay. It can last longer when the weather turns warm or it rains or we have fog. And then we just move it around at the last minute when we have to.
How do you move that around?
We have the brand is called Piston Bully. It's a machine that Ski Hills use. It's a snow groomer and a combination bulldozer and groomer, and it can go up high steep grades. And we use that for. I mean, it has a winch attachment, and on our big hill, it eliminates 90% of the human labor that we used to have to use to, with manpower, put snow up on the steeper reaches of the landing hill. That's what we use. It's a godsend, I swear. You know, it's it's made all the difference for us. We're blessed with a huge volunteer core that helps us out as we approach Jump Fest. But even with that core, the volunteerism is starting to wane a little bit. We can always use more people, but that machine alone has helped us out big time. We use it for the Three Hills. Well, right now, looking at that image on our webcam, the middle tower is missing. We tore it down this year. We fundraised to rebuild it, and unfortunately, it won't be ready for this year, of course, but it will be for next. But we use that same machine to apply the snow to all three landing hills. So, and speaking of that, when our project is complete, when the new tower has been built, it'll include reconfiguring both the middle-sized hill and the 20-meter where the kids are. This will happen next year. When we're done, we'll have year-round jumping on the 20 and the new 36-meter hill. That's something we've never had before. So our kids can practice. By the way, when after this jump camp two-day clinic is over, any child who enjoys it and wants to continue can continue on training with the rest of the kids for the rest of the season. I mean, they're invited to become part of Team Swasa, and that continues as long as the snow conditions allow. Usually it's into March, but of course it all depends on Mother Nature. So our kids train, and we have a core of about 20 kids who train year-round, and they'll travel to places like Lake Placid or Brattleboro, Vermont, or Hanover, New Hampshire, and compete if they want. That's not required, certainly, but a certain number of them will travel and compete against their peers on the 20-meter wherever they go, and it's fun. And this can happen. A child, this is, I think it's almost unique to ski jumping. Say a 7-year-old tries out. They love the sport. They go to the camp. They're engaged by it. They want to continue jumping. As soon as they're able, we'll put them on jumping skis, which we have, and we provide for them. And within that short period of a couple months, they can become proficient enough so that they can go to Lake Placid and compete against the Lake Placid kids on the 20-meter and maybe even medal. That happens. So in that compact little frame of the time, they can go from first-timer to competing in the home of two Winter Olympics against their peers, and it's great. But anyway, once all the material has been put down, these kids, our kids, will be able to jump year-round, train year-round on the 20 and 36-meter hill. So that's a big deal. Along with this new project comes state-of-the-art lighting that's already been installed. The same company that lights the Olympics and major stadiums around the country and the world. They put the lighting and Gamble Pavilion at UConn. They're at the top of their game, and they're providing the lighting for us. So we're moving along. Everything right, and it's very exciting.
That's quite an enterprise you're building up there because, think back in my lifetime, I've watched this thing go from just basically a jump into what you're saying is going to be a year-round facility for young people, people of all ages, I guess. So,
and it doesn't come without a lot of effort by a lot of people. Obviously, the fundraising is huge. I mean, it takes a lot of money, and we've all along there are years in which things have been kind of lean, and we don't have the money to do much. But whenever we have either a good jump fest, and we get a lot of extra people coming, and the resulting income, we'll make improvements. And then when we have a big project like this one where we've fundraised and raised a lot of money, we amp it up and do what we can. We're very well respected throughout the ski jumping world for our facilities. And we're the envy of a lot of them because everything is volunteer driven. I mean, we use volunteers for everything. Of course, we use professionals to do the construction, of course. Bending steel and heavy equipment work and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to preparing the hills and maintaining the hills for jumping, I mean, that's all volunteer. Other places like Brattleboro, Vermont, they have to hire absolutely everybody. They hire people to make snow. They hire people to groom. They hire people for their events. for us, it's all volunteer.
That's very rare these days. So.
Oh, it is. Matt, and we're, you know, and we, you know, we're always, always grateful. We don't take that for granted ever, because every day there's evidence of that volunteerism at work.
All right, so back to where we started at here today.
Sure.
we're talking about actually.
I tend to wander, so thank you for bringing me in.
I'm going to bring you back in, full circle around here. It's, we're actually looking very close at this point in time on December 27th and 28th, after the Christmas holiday. There'll be an annual junior jump camp, and that's at Satry Hill in Salisbury. That is a two-day event. Yeah, we said that December 7th and 28th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yep. 7 years old and up are eligible, $50 per child. That includes lunch and instructions for both days. Do they need to bring things?
Bring your downhill skis and boots and a helmet. Those things are required. You can leave your poles at home. You won't need those.
All right.
But you have to come. We don't have the ability to provide downhill skis for kids, at least at the beginning. If they participate and enjoy it, we'll put them on jumping skis at some point. But at least for this camp, they have to come with their own skis, boots, and helmet.
All right. So the last most important thing is to register, correct?
Yeah. You can go to I could give you a name and number and an email, but you don't have to write that down, because you can just go to our website, jumpfest.org, and click over on the section over on the right-hand column as you scroll down a little bit that talks about the Junior Jump Camp. Click on that and go to more information. You'll be you can register there, or you can call Ken Barker. He's SWAS's president, gives his phone number, and you can talk about it. If you have questions about the program, he can fill you in before you decide whether your child is a fit for them or not.
Okay, so as with each time I interview you, I learn a lot more about what's going on up there, and I think we'll be getting together again after the new year, because you'll be going into the ski jumps.
Yeah, and we have another event, an additional event. This is a one-time thing that we can talk about. It's a documentary has been made about the history of SWASA, and it's going to be airing on Connecticut Public TV in the middle of January. But just before that, on January 11th, we're going to hold a premiere at the Canaan Colonial Theater. It'll be a fun event, and the details are still being ironed out. This is kind of an 11th-hour thing. But details of that will be forthcoming.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get them to us when they're available.
Yes, I will. You'll be the first one to hear about it.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thanks once again. It's always a pleasure. And
yeah, thank you, Michael, as always, for having SWASA on. Your exposure for us is key. You know, we're a nonprofit. We don't have an advertising budget at all, really. So we rely on public service announcements and your good graces to get our word out. So we appreciate it.
One nonprofit helping another, right?
Yes, indeed.